on Prague's Naptikopia Street, in the very heart of the city, right next to McDonald's, is a museum of communism. What comes as a surprise to many locals and foreign visitors is that this private venture is the work of an American businessman who owns a number of bars and restaurants in the Czech capital. Glenn Spicker came to Prague 17 years ago on a wave of interest in the post-communist world. Unlike others, he launched a successful business venture and stayed. As Glenn gave me a tour of the museum, he explained what made him branch out so far from his field of enterprise.
Well, it's not that completely far off of what I do. I did start out in restaurant business here in the Czech Republic, but I studied... Soviet studies, foreign policy, communist foreign politics and things like that before the revolution. And so it was an exciting time period for me, which is why I actually moved here. And I heard about revolutions in Eastern Europe and I wanted to travel and see things. So I got here, started to do business. And it was only some years later that I realized a lot of people didn't get the experience that I got, which was to be welcomed by Czech families, to be spoken to about the communist era, to go to people's cottages, to have lunch with them, to really open up and hear about things in the past. That kind of era ended. That experience that I got, a lot of people didn't get, but yet they're still interested in what happened here. What did it look like? A lot of people would always ask me, what was it like before? What did it look like? What's changed? So I decided that it would be an interesting venture to start a museum of communism. I just really liked the idea of it. I thought it was a good idea, kind of a fun project that would help, tourists and people get a sort of quick, fairly objective overview of what happened here.
So can we walk around and see how the museum is divided up into sections and why you chose particular exhibits?
Okay, well, sure. Well, Jan Kaplan, who is a dramaturg and lives in London, emigrated in, I think, 68. He was one of the people most responsible for sort of coming up with this three-act play, this trilogy. And so we decided to have the museum sort of three-dimensional, not so chronological, not extremely boring, hopefully, and lay it out where it was the dream, the reality, and the nightmare, because the Czech and Slovaks did vote it in, communism was voted in. After defeating fascism, communism probably looked like a great alternative. It was only that it was hijacked and that it may not have... It may not be a realistic system of government, obviously. It doesn't really work. But people didn't know that then, and Czechs may not want to face that or realize that, but that was the case after World War II. So that was the dream.
So what's in the dream section?
Well, the dream section is sort of like the 50s and, five-year plans and the factory and everyone's working together for the betterment of mankind and, it's going to be a great future and, we're going to work for everyone, not just for ourselves. So it's kind of a belief in the ideology. But anyway, let me just explain that here's sort of the anteroom. This is sort of the historical backdrop. So you start in the 20s, and you see how the rise of communism, what happened. So, from Masaryk through Hitler and World War II, and that gives you a little bit of a basis for what's going to happen after World War II. And then here, Tobrina, and in here, besides posters and a painting of the Aurora, we have a little section on Marxism, Leninism, something about Marx, something about Lenin, just to give a background. And then, of course, on the left-hand side is the rise of communism here in Czechoslovakia. So Gottwald, what else? Everything basically, posters and then this type of thing. Then we get into the segment of the dream, which is praising the industry, the Air Force, technology, building, working, the schools, the ideology in the schools, plus a little section on socialist realist art. And so this was supposed to be sort of the dream, and that's why we have the hammer and sickle painted in gold, and this should be sort of a celebration of what people maybe thought was gonna happen. But then we get into the reality, and this room is gray, the muddy gray hammer and sickle, and we have a little section on sport, because I think that was and always is a big diversion for people from politics, and it's a big part of people's life, and in a way to sort of avoid politics, but we have also the agricultural section. We have an empty storefront, and we discuss how people had to wait in line, and there were very few goods in the shop. And then there's the Tuzek shops as opposed to the regular shops, and the podpoltufki, under the table type stuff. So this section is, you know, just about what it was like, this a kind of abandoned, non-functioning telephone booth, the street signs, you know, named after Lenin and Gottwald, and all this type of stuff. And we have a nice series of black and white photos of what the streets looked like, where, you know, garbage and just empty shops and buildings left broken down, or people fixing their old Trabant cars, you know. And then we even have some pictures of stuff that hasn't changed very much at all, like Ustina Labem or Dechin or some of those places. But, yeah, again, this is the destruction sort of the environment, which was unfortunately a byproduct of the regime. Then we also have Lidovi Milica, the people's militia. Then we have a little section here, more kind of propaganda, anti-imperialist posters, anti-imperialist paintings. This is an actual original Hofmeister. You know, the evil Rockefeller capitalist here, depicted in this cartoon.
So what section is this now?
This is still sort of the reality, you know, but we sneak in a socialist realist art exhibition. So a few oil paintings, you know. Then we have sort of a border section. People can see what it looked like in the border. Army.
Medals.
Medals. Some
guns.
The partisans, you know, the Russians and the Czechs, and almost, even a kind of an interesting STB oil painting here, and, you know, glorifying the army and the borders and protecting the country. So some really, I think, interesting stuff. And then this is
an interrogation room.
Yeah, this is the interrogation room. So here, kind of, we painted it red, and we have Stalin's famous slogan: "One death is a tragedy; 1 million deaths is a statistic." And, you know, for us, although we're not going chronologically, we're going back to the 50s now, when, you know, dissent, political opinion, and, you know, opening her mouth against the regime was tortured. The Ministry of Interior tortured death. You know, that changed under normalization. But we felt that, you know, with Mr. Kaplan, we felt that this was pretty much the nightmare time. So we dropped back into the 50s, how people spied on you with cameras, how people had listening devices. So we're in the interrogation room, you know, the Kachlikarna, basically. You can see the tiles on the floor, and we made it dark and eerie, and we were fortunate to have some original artifacts from Pankrats, which were on loan to us, you know, a noose and the prisoner's outfit and a little bowl for lunch that they had and for political prisoners, plus a whole section on the STB and the you know, the show trials.
Table lamp.
Yeah,
the table lamp. Old typewriter.
The old leather jacket, the table lamp, and the phone rings when you're least expecting it. So yeah, this is kind of an interesting
room. And Stalin had gotten wild on the walls.
Sure, yeah.
And there seems to be a mini theater next door.
Yeah, and then we have the theater, which is probably the most important part of the museum and something that everybody should see. And it shows sort of the suppression of the revolution. It's great. You know, there's some stuff in 68, and then this is 89, like you can see this section. And it's fascinating, you know. It's fascinating. It's just amazing. It shows the police marching, you know, against the people. We have those helmets and uniforms here and everything. So that's something I think people need to come and see. This is, you know, this is kind of sad. Anyway, let's move on. Great music, too. So we are looking for, like, more positive footage of the revolution, which we'd like to show in the 1989 section, which we're getting to right now. Now we're going through the normalization period. First, a little small exhibit on 1968, which doesn't do justice to what happened here, but we're a bit limited on space. And then we go through the normalization period, you know, Husak and everything. And there's some pretty funny photos. I don't know where I found these, but you see Husak with Mugabe, you see Husak with Khomeini. You also see Havel, you know, plastic people, you know, and you kind of get a feel for what was going on then. We also need some Charter 77 documents, if anybody has, or some Samizdat publications. But again, if, you know, you're limited here to about 10 square meters of space. And then we go into Gorbachev and the Berlin Wall and all Radio Free Europe and the revolution on Wenceslas Square. And you can see some of the photos of Wenceslas Square, whatever, 300,000 people. I don't know how many they said were. It's just amazing, you know?
So you want the exhibition to end on a positive note for people?
That would be the idea, which is why I think we want to redo this section and get some better footage and some color and some music and make people feel a little more emotionally upbeat when they actually leave here. You see the wall being broken down. That's just symbolic, obviously. The Berlin Wall wasn't in Prague, but that's sort of the idea. And then the museum finishes there.
So what kind of people come to see it, and what response have you had to it? I mean, is it foreigners? Is it Czechs?
It's mostly foreigners, but that's the whole range of foreigners, you know, from young Spanish or Brazilian students to Americans in their 50s, Canadians, Germans. You know, we have it in many different languages. The text is in English, Czech, and German, but you can ask for the text in Japanese or, you know, any number of languages, Italian, etc. You just have to ask for it. So, you know, I'd say by no means do we have a lot of Czech people. We have students come. We have, you know, groups of students of, you know, from about 7, 8 years old up to about 13, you know, 14 that come every year. So we encourage people to come, and we have a comment book. And so
it's what kind of reactions have you had in your comment book, for instance? Anything that pleased you in particular, or, you know, upset you? Or,
man, I think most people actually like it. Most people write pretty positively in the comment book. Occasionally people will say, oh, well, you know, capitalism is no better and it's worse, and, you know, or they'll hear that I'm an American and they'll write, what do you know? Ronald Reagan was terrible. And, you know, but I absolutely agree. I don't disagree with that. I just don't have a museum of capitalism. If I did, I would slander capitalism almost as much as I would communism. But, you know, we can only do so much here. So it's not even a look at China or even Poland. You know, this is Czech and Slovak with an emphasis on Prague for people that are coming here. So, but most people write nice comments, get something out of it, enjoy the experience. And I think even Czechs, I think when they come, they don't want to come. They'll say, we know everything, we don't want to hear about it, leave me alone, I can't believe it. But if they actually come here, they get a lot out of it. They like it because they do see the old motorcycle that they had, or the first, you know, bike that their parents bought them, or the school, which is an exact replica of where they actually sat when they were kids. So they'll get more nostalgia and more emotional value out of it than an American who none of this stuff really speaks to them.